And as a short overview of Daf Chaf and Masech the Brachos, the beginning of the Daf is going to talk about human dignity, which we had spoken about yesterday, the conflict sometimes between showing respect to a human being and doing a mitzvah. And we're going to continue this theme that in biblical mitzvos, the priority has to be to do the mitzvah, not to show human dignity. And we'll talk about earlier generations, how they were so holy, and they were so focused on just doing the mitzvah and ignoring their own dignity and the dignity of others. That'll lead us into a discussion generally about earlier generations, how there were some people there who were so holy that they could even do what we would consider very questionable. There was a rabbi who would go to the mikvah and show the women immersing in the mikvah how to immerse in the mikvah. And when they confronted him, what about the Yetzer Hara? The evil urge is going to be all riled up by looking at those sights. He said, no, to me, I don't even view them as women. I view them as white ducks. It's impersonal, so I can do it. And then we're going to go to the Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to introduce a new topic, the topic of mitzvah saseh shazman grama. Women are exempt generally from mitzvot that are bound, that are limited to a certain time, like tefillin, like shema. It'll get us into the discussion of certain mitzvot aseh shazman grama that women are obligated in, like the mitzvah of Kiddush on Friday night. The reason for that is that since they're obligated in the prohibitions, it's only positive mitzvot that are time-bound that they are exempt from, but they are obligated in the prohibitions, even those that are time-bound. And since the Torah links the prohibitions of Shabbos, Shamorit Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, to the mitzvah of Kiddush, to Zachar's Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, since they're obligated in Shamor, they're obligated in Zachar as well. And this also will get into the discussion of Birkas HaMazon. And are women obligated in benching? Are they obligated rabbinically? Are they obligated biblically? We'll get into the general question, if someone's obligated in something rabbinically, can he fulfill the mitzvah for someone who's obligated in it biblically? And finally, the next mission, which we'll hopefully get to, will introduce the concept that will take us for a couple of pages of Baal Keri, a man who has had an emission of semen, has an impurity, and Ezra made an enactment that those with that impurity should not study Torah. What about saying Kriyat Shema? What about saying Birkat HaMazon? What about saying other blessings when someone is a Baal Keri? So that's the basic overview of the topics of today. Let's start on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. We are at the two dots, four lines down. Again, the first topic is the great virtue of the earlier generations. Amalei Papa Abaye, Papa said once to Abaye, Maishna Rishonim Disrachash Lunisa. What's different about the earlier generations, or why are the earlier generations different, that they would merit to have miracles? You know, they needed something, they'd pray, and a miracle would happen, it would appear. And why are we different? We don't get miracles. So, and then Rav Papa added to the question. He said to Abaye, if it's because of learning, maybe the earlier generations learned more than we did. The opposite is true. We learn more than the earlier generations did. B'shanid Rav Yehuda, in the years of Rav Yehuda, kula tznuye b'nezikin avam. All of their learning was just in Masechet Nezikin. Now, we don't have a Masechet Nezikin. We have Masechet Bava Kama, we have Bava Metzia and Bava Basra. But if you think about those names, Bava Kama literally means the first case. Bava Metzia means the middle case. Bava Basra means the last case. Originally, it was one Masechta called Masechet Nezikin with 30 chapters. Just like Maseches Kelim, which has 30 chapters, begins Taharos, Masechet Nezikin, with 30 chapters about laws of damages and monetary law, began the subject of Nezikin. Then it was broken up into three sections, each of 10 chapters, Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra. So he's saying, Rav Papa is saying that in the days of Rav Yehuda, that's the only thing they learned, Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra. They just learned those three Masechtos. Vanan, whereas we, Kamasninen, Shita Sidri, we learn all the Mishnayos. We learn Bava Kam, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra, Sanhedrin, Makos, Avodah Zarah. We learn all of it. We learn Kalim, and we learn Uktzin, and we learn Yadayim, and we learn all of the Mishnayos. We learn Klayim, and we learn Zeruim, we learn Taros. Another point, we know it much better than they did. Ki Ava Mati Rav Yehuda B'Uktzin. When Rav Yehuda would get up to a Mishnah dealing with the laws of plant stems. So there's a concept called Yadayim L'Tumah, a handle of tumah. Let's say you have a twig. So typically a twig cannot become tummy because it's not a utensil, nor is it a food. But if you have a twig still attached to the orange. So now if the dead rodent touches the twig, the orange will become tame. Because since you will carry the orange around with the twig is what's attached to the orange, the twig is considered the handle of the orange. So there's a Mishnah about this topic of uktzin, about stems and handles. Ha'isha shakoveshes yarek pikdera. A woman who has a vegetable that has a root to it, and she is pickling the vegetable and root in a pot. So since she's pickling it, she's turning it into pickles. The pickle is water with vinegar and salt, pickling juice. And that pickling juice corrodes the stem. So since it corrodes the stem is no longer considered a handle, even though it's still attached. And if the tumma touches the stem, it's not going to be considered, it's not going to go onto the vegetable that's getting pickled. Or Amila, others say that if you'd be learning the topic of Zesim Shekavshim B'Terfeim, olives that are being pickled with their leaves. So again, the leaf is a handle to transmit the impurity that touches the leaf to the olive. But since it's in the pickling juice, the leaf is decomposing. And since it's decomposing, it's not considered a handle anymore. Tahorim. So then these olives or these vegetables that have stems are tahor, even when a tuma item touches the stem, because the stem is not considered a handle anymore because it's being decomposed. So when Rav Yehuda would get up to these laws, he would say, it's so hard for me to understand it. Amar, he would say, Havayos to Rav Shmuel Kachazinahacha. What I see here are all the questions that my teachers, Rav and Shmuel, had. All the questions they had throughout the 36 Masechtos of Shas. Rav doesn't know something. Shmuel doesn't know something. They argue. It's complicated. Add all of them up together. He said, to me, trying to figure out this law is as hard as figuring out all of their discussions. Because he didn't know the laws of Taros. He spent all of his time in Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, and Bava Basra. He didn't know all the laws of purity and handles. We get to a topic of handles. It may not be such a, doesn't look like such a difficult topic. He didn't know it. He said, to me, this is as hard as everything I learned from my teachers, Rav and Shmuel. So that was Rav Yehuda. And here we are, a later generation, Rav Papa says. Anan kamasninen bu'uktsin tleser mesifta. We have literally 13 yeshivos just dealing with the topics of uktsin. What Rashi explains what he means is, when it comes to the topic of uktsin, the topic of the handles of fruits, we have 13 different ways of understanding those mishnayos. We have the Rav Yehuda on the way of understanding and the Rabbi Shmuel way of understanding. We have 13 approaches to it. So we know much more than Rav Yehuda used to know. And yet, in regards to prayer, when there's no rain, Rav Yehuda would have a fast day. He'd take off one shoe as a sign of a little bit of discomfort. So he'd discomfort himself a little bit that the rain should come. Asimitra, the rain would come. Anan kometzarina nafsha. We are fasting and we're afflicting ourselves and we're screaming and belching. We're screaming out. And it seems like no one's paying attention to us. God doesn't send the rain. So what's going on? Amar Lehi said to him, there's an answer. Kamai, the earlier generation, the generation of Rav Yehuda, they didn't know as much Torah. But their dedication to God was much greater than ours. And they were willing to sacrifice themselves, to endanger themselves, to try to stand up for God's law. And as a result, they were rewarded that when they would pray, God would respond to them positively.
How was the knowledge transmitted if they didn't know it?
They didn't study it. But it was already written. It was already after the Mishnayos.
They didn't study it.
It wasn't widely studied. I'm sure there were experts, you know, a select elite that did know it. Amar Lehi said to him, Kamoyavu Kamasi Navshayo Kdush Hashem. The earlier generations, they would risk their lives for Kiddush Hashem. They would risk their lives to sanctify God's name. They take risks. And now, Lo Kamasinu Nafshin Akdush Hashem, we don't risk our lives for God's honor. So we might know a lot of Torah, but we don't have the same passion. And that's why when we pray, we don't necessarily get the response. What's the example how the earlier generations would take risks for God's honor? Kiyadu Rav Adar Bar Ahava, like the famous story with Rav Adar Bar Ahava, Chazilahu Kutis. He saw a woman. Now, he thought it was a Jewish woman, but she was really a non-Jewish woman. He saw this non-Jewish woman who he thought was a Jewish woman. That was Levisha Karbalta Beshuka. She was wearing this outfit, the Karbalta, in the market. I think the Karbalta is some type of a red shawl. So basically, it was considered lotzanua, immodest, for a Jewish woman to wear a red shawl or scarf. This was something that, you know, draws a lot of attention. And Jewish women were modest. They wouldn't wear clothing that was loud. Sava de Bas Yisrael, he, Rav Adar Bar Ahava, thought that she was a Jewish girl. And so even though there was a risk, maybe she's not a Jewish girl, and him getting involved could cost him money, could get him into jail if she's not a Jewish girl, he was so upset that a Jewish girl was wearing this immodest, loud scarf. Come Karamine, he pulled it off of her. He tore it off of her shoulders. She must have had a shirt underneath, because then the whole point would have been lost. Iglai Milsa turns out to Kutasi, but she wasn't even Jewish. Shaimua ba'arba me'azuzi. They made him pay 400 zuz as a penalty for embarrassing this lady. Amar la mashmeich. He then asked her, what's your name? Amrle, she said, my name is Matun. Now, Matun literally means patient. So her name was Patience. He said, oh, you know, I should have been more patient. Amar la, he said to her, Matun, Matun, patience, patience. Abrame azuz shavya, it's worth 400 zuz. Had I been more patient, I never would have had to pay the 400 zuz. But, so we're saying here, the story didn't end up well. He ended up doing the wrong thing, pulling off the red scarf from a non-Jewish woman. He ended up paying her. But you see his passion. He was willing to go risk a lot for God's honor, for the mitzvahs to be observed. People who are very passionate about serving God are the ones that when they pray, their prayers are granted, even if they have less Torah knowledge than others. Okay, so now that leads us to a discussion about the greatness of earlier generations, and something which to us seems strange, but anyway, this is what they used to do. All right, we all have two examples here. We're going to have Rav Yochanan and Rav Gidel. Rav Gidel, haviragel dava ka'azil v'yasev ashari de tefila. Rav Gidel was regular in the habit to go and sit at the gates of the mikvah. So he would go sit at the gate and look into the mikvah. Amalehu, and he would tell the women, hachi tevilu, this is the way to immerse. No, you have to go further down. He was the bodeket. He was the bodeket at the mikvah. He was the shomer. He was the mikvah lady. This is the way you should be tovel. Hachu tevilu, this is the way you should be tovel. The rabbi said to him, is our master of Gidel not worried of the evil urge? You're inciting urges by seeing women immersing in a mikvah. Amalui said, no, to me, I don't even view it as a human thing. I view it, they appear in my eyes, like white ducks. So it's very sterile. It's very scientific. You know, I'm like a doctor. This is a discussion in a laboratory, and therefore it doesn't do anything to me, and I'm allowed to do it.
I don't
do it. So Baruch, you remind me of a famous story that happened with my father when he was teaching in yeshiva. So he was talking to the students about the laws of negia, that before someone is married, a man's not to touch another woman, and modesty. So a boy said, Rebbe, I went with my girlfriend on vacation to the beach. She was in a swimming outfit, and I was in a swimming outfit. We were laying next to each other on the sand, holding hands. And Rebbe, I didn't feel anything. It was platonic. My father said, you need a new girlfriend. I don't believe such a thing. I don't believe such a thing. So that's so Baruch Hu, so he doesn't believe such a thing. All right, I understand that. Rabbi Yochanan haviragel dava ka'azel v'yasev ashari detfila. Rabbi Yochanan also was regular that he would go and sit at the gates of the mikvah. But apparently here, the Gemara doesn't ask, how could he do it? What about what he's looking at? Apparently he didn't look. So his eyes were closed, his face was down. Amar, he said, Kisalkim knows Yisrael, when the Jewish girls are going to come out, va'asim itvila, they're going to come out of the immersion, I want them to look at me. Mistaklim be, they'll look at me. We know that Rabbi Yochanan was extremely beautiful. We saw earlier in the Masechta, back on Daf Hey, where Rabbi Yochanan's arm would light up a room. So So he said, let them look at me, if they look at me, that will cause them tonight, when they have intimacy with their husbands, to end up with having thoughts of beauty, and they'll have beautiful children like me. So the rabbi said to Rabbi Yochanan, how could you do this? This is going to arouse ayin hara. There's the doctrine called the evil eye, that if you draw attention to your wealth, to your beauty, to your brilliance, in heaven they're going to say, hey, you know, does he deserve all of that? And they might then listen to the angels who say he doesn't, and he might lose it. So Rabbi Yochanan said to them, Anam Yizarad Yosef Kasina. I'm a descendant of Yosef. I'm from the seed of Yosef. Lo Shalta Be'ein Abisha. Ayin Hara does not touch the seed of Yosef. How do we know that? Two proofs. One, the verse says, Ben Poras Yosef, the son who's fruitful is Yosef. Ben Poras is Yaakov's blessing, this fruitful son. Ali Ayin, on the eye. Amri Bavo Ruvo explained, Al Tikri Ali Ayin, don't read it as fruitful son on the eye. Ela Ole Ayin, who transcends the eye. So even if there's a negative I, Yosef transcends it. This is the source. The verse says that Yaakov said to the children of Yosef, Yidgularov Bekerav Haaretz, and they should multiply like fish in the midst of the earth. Why like fish? The fish in the sea are covered with water, and therefore ain ayin hara shel etzban. There's no ayin hara that can affect them because nobody sees the fish. They see the water over the fish. Yosef, so it is with the seed of Yosef. And ayin hara shel etzban behem, the ayin hara doesn't affect them. And now a third source, ibayasema, it's measure for measure. Ayin shel ratz lozem mimasheino shelo. Yosef refused to allow his eye to be sated from what wasn't his. In other words, he didn't stay with the wife of Potiphar and enjoy what she wanted to show to him because he knew it wasn't his. He wasn't married to her. So such a person who has such behavior is rewarded measure for measure, that ayin hara shel etzban behem, that the evil eye is not able to impact him or his descendants. Now the Maharal says here a very beautiful thought. He said, how did Rabbi Yochanan know that he's a descendant of Yosef? So the Maharal says the idea is that Yosef, he was an iconoclast. He went against the grain. Everyone else was a shepherd, and he's saying we're going to have to become farmers. He went against the grain. Everybody else is Egyptian, and he's Na'ar Ivri. He's still standing firm with his Jewish way. So someone who's willing to stand firm with what he knows is the truth, even though there's so much against him and so much opposition, someone like that is not concerned by what they think about him. So they don't like what I do, or they don't agree with me. So what? I know I'm right, and they're wrong. Someone like that is not impacted by ayin hara. So Rabbi Yochanan also had that ability to be an individual, to be unique. And because he was an individual, that's what enabled him not to be impacted by ayin hara, by the judgments of others, even the critical judgments of others. Okay, that was the first half of today's daf. We now go on to the next Mishnah, here on the bottom of daf chaf amud aleph. Nashim, women, v'avadim, or Gentile slaves of a Jew that a Jew owns. So the law is that the Gemara tells us a Gentile slave has those mitzvos that a woman has. So since women do not have time-bound mitzvos, as the Gemara learns in Maseches Kiddushin, women do not have the obligation of reading Shema, because Shema is a time-bound mitzvah. The Torah says, "Bishach b'cha uvukumecha," when you lay down, when you wake up. So it's only at a certain time, when you lay down. The time of Shtiva might be just the first 4 hours of the night, might be the first half hour of the night, maybe it's the whole night, but it's a limited time. Zman of Kima is also limited time. It's in the morning, first 3 hours. So doesn't apply to women or to avadim. Uktanim, minors also are p'tur mikriyas shma, exempt from kriyas shma. Rashi says that these minors is a reference to a minor who's already at the age of chinuch. He's already at the age where the parent has an obligation to train him to do mitzvos. But so even though the parent has an obligation to train a child to do mitzvos, Rashi says he does not have the obligation to train the child to say kriyat shema, because kriyat shema is hard. Kids are not always home at the time of kriyat shema. You know, first thing in the morning they wake up, they're outside to play. So here the rabbis did not impose an obligation on the parent to train the child to say kriyat shema. Women, slaves, and children, in addition to being exempt from kriyat shema, they're also exempt from, now turning to chafim and beis, not tefillin, exempt from tefillin, because tefillin also is a time-bound mitzvah. It only applies during the day, it doesn't apply at night, it doesn't apply in Shabbos and Yom Tov. So it's a time-bound mitzvah, and they didn't create an obligation of chinuch to train children to wear tefillin according to Rashi, because tefillin requires a pure body, and a child, we're not confident he's going to keep his body clean. However, v'chayavim, these three are obligated in tefillah. They're obligated to say Shemona Esrei. As the Gemara is going to explain, Shemona Esrei is an appeal for mercy. Women need mercy, children need mercy. So there is an obligation of saying Shemona Esrei. Uv mezuzah, they're obligated in mezuzah because mezuzah is not time bound. You always have to have the mezuzah on the doorpost. Uv birkas hamazon, and they're obligated in reciting birkas hamazon. Okay, question, Baruch.
Then once the parents are responsible for talking about under bar and bat mitzvah.
Correct. Yeah, under bar and bar mitzvah, but over, let's say, seven, you know, where they're educatable. It could be educated.
Right. And then here, you say Rashi's opinion, it says about the not being clean.
Yeah.
Okay, that's why they can't put the, you know, tefillin on.
Yeah.
But if they go to mikveh and come back,
we don't trust that they're going to maintain the cleanliness, right? Because part of tefillin also is to maintain cleanliness of thought. We're not confident that a child's going to have that discipline and keep the thoughts pure.
Okay, not so it's not just cleaning, it's a thought too when everything is.
Yeah, cleanliness isn't thought as well.
Okay, all right.
That's right. Okay, so again, the Mishnah said, started off with the laws of Kriyat Shema, which is the topic of the first part of the Masechta. Women, slaves, children are exempt from Kriyat Shema. Says the Gemara, Kriyat Shema, women are exempt from Kriyat Shema. Pshit, of course, that's obvious. Mitzvah says Shazman Gramu. This is a positive mitzvah to do something which is only limited in a certain time. Do it at the morning, at the night. So of course, women are exempt. Kol mitzvah sase shazman grama nashim turos. Any mitzvah sase which is limited in time, women are exempt. Answer the Gemara. No, I would have thought. Ma udetem would have thought to say, oh, this b'malchus shamayim. Since kriyat shema is a declaration, I accept God's kingdom. I accept God's rules. I'm going to listen to Him. That's a very important thing. Even women should be expressing that faith, as I've mentioned before. Rav Moshe Sternbruch has suggested that the definition of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim is to enter into a covenant with God. Every day, twice a day, we are re-entering into the covenant. We're making a new covenant, a new pact. So women are part of that covenant, so they should also say Kriyat Shema. That's what I would have thought. Kamashman, so that's the Chiddush. Even though it's a covenant making, since it's time-bound, and women are exempt from time-bound obligations, they are exempt. Amin HaTfilin, then the Mishnah taught us that women and slaves and minors are exempt from tefillin. Sheet, of course, it's obvious. Tefillin is time bound. It's only by day. It's not on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Of course, women would be exempt. So again, the Gemara says, "Now the time we're thought to say, oh, viskush mezuzah." Tefillin, though, is compared to mezuzah because tefillin and mezuzah are both in the Shema. The same pasuk says, "Ukshartam," tie it on your hand, and then "Uksavtam," and write them on the mezuzah. So what if, look, since they're both in the same section, they're both compared, since they have to do mezuzah because that's not time bound, they should have to do tefillin. Kamashon, that's why I need the chiddush to tell me that they don't have to do tefillin. But they are obligated in Shmona Esrei. Why? Because Shmona Esrei is an appeal for mercy. So Ma'ud HaTem would have thought to say, since it says about prayer, David HaMelech says, evening, morning, and afternoon, I will express my prayers to you. And that's the source for how we got to three prayers a day. I would think, therefore, it's like a time-bound mitzvah, because it comes from a pasuk which says a certain time for each prayer. So that's what the chiddush of the Mishnah is. No, since the core of prayer is to appeal for mercy, women also need mercy, and therefore they too need to pray. They need to say Shemona Esrei. Uva mezuzah, women are obligated in a mezuzah on the door. Pshit, of course, it's not time-bound. So no, it's not so simple. Ma'atim would have thought to say, Ho viskash l'talmud Torah, since mezuzah is written next to the mitzvah of learning Torah in the Shema. And the mitzvah of learning Torah does not apply to women. Women do not have an obligation to learn Torah. Kamash malam, so therefore I would say, if they don't have to learn Torah, they also don't have to put on mezuzah. Kamash malam, so I need to tell me that no, that they can do learning Torah, they can also do mezuzah. They actually are obligated in mezuzah. Ubi birkas hamazon, and women and slaves and minors are obligated in birkas hamazon. Sheets, it's obvious. Answer the Gemara. No. Now the Tim was able to say, since the verse says, "V'teis Hashem lachem ba'erev basar lecho," when Hashem will give you in the evening meat to eat, "V'lechem ba'boker lizboa," and in the morning bread to be filled with. So therefore, eating and benching, I would think, is also kibitz v'sei shazman gramadami. The pasuk is making it like a time-bound mitzvah, because the pasuk is saying, the verse is saying, I'm going to give you food at night, give you food by day. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. The Birkas HaMazon is not a time-bound mitzvah, it's just a mitzvah, and therefore women are obligated. Amar Rabbi Abba Rahava taught, Nashim Chayavos, B'Kiddush HaYom Dvar Torah, women are obligated in reciting Kiddush on Friday nights? Biblically, asks the Gemara, am I, why? Mitzvah says, Shazman Gramahu, that's a time-bound positive mitzvah. Positive mitzvah to consecrate the Shabbos day, but time-bound. You can't do it on a Tuesday, you can't do it on a Wednesday, you have to do it on a Friday night. So, it should be exempt. All time-bound positive mitzvahs. Women are exempt. Abaye said, maybe Rav Adar bar Rav Hava meant was Midrash Rabbanan. Women are obligated in Kiddush rabbinically. Amalei Rav Rava said to Abaye. But Dvar Torah kamar, that can't be, because Rav Adar bar Rav Hava said women are obligated in Kiddush Dvar Torah from the matter of the Torah's law. But furthermore, comments to say, if you're going to say that it was a rabbinic enactment that they should say, Kiddush, so then comments to say Nechayvinu Midrash Rabbanan. We should go after every positive time-bound mitzvah and obligate women in it rabbinically. El Amar Rava, therefore Rava said, Amar Kala, the pasuk says, Zachar v'shamor. In Parashas Yisro, the Ten Commandments, it says, Zachar v'shamor Shabbos l'kachem. Commemorate the Shabbos day, make it holy. In Parashas V'eschanan, the Torah says, Shamar v'shamor Shabbos l'kachem. Guard the Shabbos day, don't do malacha, and thereby make it holy. So the Gemara explains, Zachar v'shamor m'dibur echad namru. Hashem said both in the same instance. So if Hashem said both in the same instant, it's to compare the zachor, the commemoration, the positive mitzvah of Kiddush, to shamar, to the prohibition of keeping and avoiding malacha. Kosh yeshnu b'shmira, therefore anyone who's obligated in shmira, who has to do the laws of no malacha, yeshnu b'shira is also obligated in Kiddush in Sechira. Hani nashi, so these women, ho vishnu b'shmira, since they are obligated in shmira, because they're obligated in all those sases, Isnu bizchira, they're also obligated in the positive mitzvah of Zachar Yom HaShabbos
L'Kadosh. But by Kiddush here, Friday night, the obligation of women to do the challah and the candle lighting.
No, to say the Kiddush, to say the prayer on the
You're
Kiddush.
Talking about Friday night Kiddush.
Yeah, on okay. A cup of wine, yeah.
Okay, so, and the wine, okay.
And the wine, yeah.
So, yeah, it has no relationship with the other woman's obligation, which is challah and the candle lighting part of it?
No. In this, she's equal to a man.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay, next topic. I'm Ravina Lerav, Ravina said to Rashba. Nashim Birkas HaMazon. This that women have to bench. So, Arayis Od Rabbanan, is that a biblical obligation or a rabbinic obligation? Marcel Lamay Nafkamina, what would the difference be? The difference would be Lafuki Ram, Yudei Chavasan. Could they recite Birkas HaMazon for men? If they're also biblically obligated, Asido Raisa, Mabedo Raisa. So their biblical obligation could fulfill the biblical obligation of men. But if they're only obligated rabbinically, then Havi Shein Mokhuy Badaber. So then, relative to a man, she's not as obligated. A man is obligated biblically, she's only obligated rabbinically. So someone who's not obligated can't do it for that person who's obligated. Kol Shein Mokhuy Badaber. And what's the Sarabi Dei Chavasan? Someone who's not obligated cannot fulfill the obligation for those who are obligated. So, what is the law? Tashma, come here, a proof. We have a brisa. The brisa says, "Ben, in truth, they said, Ben Mevarich L'Aviv, a child can recite Birkas HaMazon for his father. Ben Mevarich L'Rabo, a slave, can recite Birkas HaMazon for his master. Vishma Mevarich L'Baal, and a wife can recite Birkas HaMazon for her husband. Avalam Chacham, as our sages have said, a person deserves a curse if he doesn't know enough that he needs his wife or his children to recite Birkas HaMazon for him. Now, if you're going to tell me that this is a biblical obligation, if she's biblically obligated, so her biblical obligation can come and it can fulfill the obligation of her husband who's biblically obligated. But if you're going to tell me she's only obligated rabbinically, can a rabbinic obligation fulfill the needs of a biblical obligation? So the Gemara says, one second, but according to your logic, that this Bryce is a proof that she's biblically obligated, then what about Katan? What about a minor? Baruch Yuvahu, can he possibly have any biblical obligations? Minors only have rabbinic obligations. So how can we have a child reading for the father, Birkas HaMazon? Allah is asking, what's the case? Could go to Shiurah. The father himself is only rabbinically obligated. Because what was the biblical obligation? The Torah says, V'achalta v'savato v'erachta. If you eat and you're full, then you bless. What happens if he didn't eat enough to be full? But he ate enough to still bench rabbinically. So then the child can bench him. The child ate enough to be full. And he ate a kezias. Then the child can bench him. And then the rabbinic obligation of the child can come. Umapik drabbanan. And fulfill the obligation for him, which is also rabbinic. Tarsha Ravira, now to explain, when do we have a rabbinic obligation of benching? Ravira taught, Zimin Ramallah, sometimes he said it in Shmid Ravami, the name of Ravami. Zimin Ramallah in Shmid Ravasi. Sometimes he said it in the name of Ravasi. Amru Malachi Asharis Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the angels who serve said before God, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World. Kasam Torah Sechet says in your Torah, Shel Yisafanim, that he, God, will not show any favor. V'likach Shokat, he doesn't take any bribes. But you do show favor to the Jewish people. The same as the verse says, Yisa Hashem Banav Elecha, God will show his favor to you. V'yasim Lecha Shalom, and give you peace. Amalem, he said to them, V'chilo Esafanam Yisrael, how can I not show extra favor to the Jews? Shekos Safi Lehem Batorah, I wrote in my Torah, V'achalta V'savato V'erachtas Hashem Elokecha, if you eat and you are full, then you are to bless God, your Lord, on the land that I've given you. V'heim Adakting Alatzman, but they are so careful with themselves to go beyond the letter of the law. At Kizayas, if they only eat in olive worth, according to one opinion, they already bench. Or according to the other opinion, Ad Kibetza, if they eat in Edworth, then they already recite Birkas Hamazon. So they go beyond the letter of the law, I will go beyond the letter of the law for them. So that is the rabbinic obligation of Birkas Hamazon. If somebody only eats in olive worth or in Edworth, he's not full, so it's not the biblical obligation. But rabbinically, they've imposed an obligation on him to bench. So if you have a man who ate only a Kizayas, and now he has to bench, but he doesn't know how to bench, his son can come and can bench for him because his son is rabbinically obligated, and he at this point is right now rabbinically obligated.
So, but how about if they eat fruits?
Yes.
Hayats or, you know.
Yeah, then not.
They're not. So right now he's generalizing everything. When you're fully satisfied, you have
to. Biblically.
So the fruit, somebody could get fully satisfied by eating watermelon.
Yeah, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing as bread. Bread is the main.
So bread has to be the part of the equation. Here.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
all right. So now we move to a new topic, and that's the topic of a Baal Keri. If a man has had a discharge of semen, he has a low level of impurity, and Ezra instituted that he shouldn't learn Torah or do mitzvos when he's in that low level of impurity. We're going to see that ultimately the Gemara says there is a Tana who disagrees, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. He says, Ein Divrei Torah Mekabelim Tumah. That's the current halacha, that even if a person's a Baal Keri, he's still allowed to learn Torah and recite blessings. So Baal Keri, somebody's a Baal Keri, says the Mishnah, Maharer Belibo. He thinks in his heart the words of Shema, Ve'enu Mevarech L'Lefanev L'Lacharei. He doesn't recite the blessing before the Shema, nor the blessing after Shema. Bala Amazon, and if he ate food, he wants to be Birkas Amazon. Mevarech la'achrav, he recites the blessing afterwards. Ve'enu mevarech l'fanav, he doesn't recite the blessing before food. Now the blessing he's reciting afterwards is also in his heart. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, mevarech l'fnei malachrayim, he can recite the blessings on Shema before and after, and he can recite it aloud as well. Amar Avina, Ravina said, Zoso meres, don't we see from here, here a kedibur dami, that a thought is just as good as saying words. That if thoughts are not as good as words, Lama Mahara, what is he accomplishing by thinking in his heart? So if he's thinking the words of Shema, must be it's as good as saying the words. So myself one second. Elamai, what are you gonna say? Here a kedibur dami, that thoughts are as good as words. And Yoti Bisfasa, why doesn't he say it? Answer the Gemara, Kidashkham Basinai, this prohibition that Ezra made not to learn when you're a Baal Keri is learned from Har Sinai. At Har Sinai, the Jews were pure to be able to learn. And there they were expressing it verbally, so only the expression verbally is what can't be done when someone is a Baal Keri. Rav Chizda said, here a lot of kedibur dami. A thought is not as good as words. Yisakadat nachiru kedibur dami. If you're going to say thoughts are as good as words, yoti besvasav. So then let the Baal Keri say the Shema out loud. Elamai. So what are you going to say here a lot of kedibur dami? It's not as good as words. So then lama mahar. What's he accomplishing by thinking it? Amr Belezer said, according to Reb Chizda, the pshat is, it's not right that everybody else is busy with Shema, and he's not doing anything. So therefore, he should at least think the words. Let him learn something else. It's not right that everybody else is busy with Shema, and he's not involved with it. But don't we know that if somebody is in the midst of prayer, and he realizes he's a Baal Keri, He doesn't stop entirely. He just summarizes. So time of the Atkel, because there he started. Hello Atkel, if he didn't start Lo Yatkel, he's not supposed to start. So why can't he start in with his heart just to think with them? So my answer: Shani Tefillah is less from Malchus Shemayim. Tefillah is not Kabbalah from Malchus Shemayim. So one second, but Birkas Hamazon Le'Achrav, but blessing on food afterwards also less from Malchus Shemayim. It's not an accepting of the yoke of heaven. It's not a winter in our Mishnah. That the Baal Keri thinks the thoughts of Birkas HaMazon after he eats. Ella, the answer is Kriyat Shema and Birkas HaMazon are Doraisa. Since they're Doraisa, when everybody else is doing it, he should at least be thinking it. Tfilah's Drabbanah, Tfilah's only rabbinic, and therefore he doesn't have to think it when everybody else is doing it. Okay, we can say a Kaddish Drabbanah.